This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula hanging out with you on a victory reaction Monday. Texas went 23-20. We're trying to get through all of that, figure out our emotions on this Monday. But let's take a break from the Texans and talk about the rest of the NFL and going around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right. So National Tight Ends Day. First of all, were you familiar with this? You weren't familiar
no
with
idea.
This?
How do you celebrate National Tight Ends Day?
By looking at keisters. I don't know. No, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what the celebration is besides just watching football. So yeah. This unofficial holiday was started by the Niners and George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was an instance where, somebody was just cooking for the Niners. And the quarterback was like, what is it, National Tight Ends Day? And George Kittle was like, yeah, it is.
It absolutely
And so
is.
They have established that the last week or the fourth weekend in October is National Tight Ends Day.
Well, they celebrated.
They sure did. 16 touchdowns by 14 tight ends, 177 total receptions. A couple of tight ends picked up a two-touchdown situation. But this is the most touchdowns on this made-up occasion in the 6 years that it's happened. It seems like tight ends, man, having a good time.
Including, Schultz, Dalton Schultz, nice little effort, especially in the first half, but nice little effort yesterday. Yeah, I guess it works because tight ends. Travis Kelce got his first touchdown of the year on National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah, early in that game, too. Yeah. Like, he was locked. Kittle added in. Mark Andrews made sure. I do wonder, like, now that it has become a thing, at least around the NFL, do you think that this could be like self-fulfilling prophecy where you come into this weekend, you know, hey, man, make sure your safeties or your linebackers are on your P's and Q's because they're trying to find that tight end.
I mean, quarterbacks are human, too. I think quarterbacks might even look that way a little more. Who knows? I mean, it's definitely on the table that it could be self-fulfilling, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Very thankful to George Kittle then for that because Dalton Schultz needed that game, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, he...
Well, we were wondering about Dalton Schultz and came up with a couple of big plays.
Yeah, early and often. 6 targets, 4 receptions, 52 yards for Dalton Schultz. Mm-hmm. Solid performance for your Texans. And shout out to all the tight ends out there and all the people that appreciate them. And I hope that your fantasy team benefited from that, from one of those.
I think so. A little bit.
Who's your fantasy tight end? Nobody cares about your tight end except for this very moment.
What's his name at Buffalo?
Dalton Knox?
No, not Knox. The other one.
Kincaid.
Dalton Kincaid. Yeah, Dalton Kincaid. I think he got one.
Dawson Knox. See, I went
in. No, Dalton Kincaid got a touchdown. I think he got a touchdown.
You know, congratulations. Hope everybody
We all celebrate.
I didn't do anything special for tight end day. So, I guess, I don't know. Do I need to make up for that today?
Like, what's the meal?
What do tight ends do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the special thing is for tight ends. All right, so not a tight end. A wide receiver got to have a special moment yesterday. With a crazy ending in Washington. It was the Commanders, it was Bears, and it came down to the very end. It was a tight game, and ultimately a Hail Mary gets thrown up mm-hmm. by Jaden Daniels. It's tipped and it's caught by none other than Noah Brown to allow the Commanders to get an 18-15 victory over the Chicago Bears. What were your emotions in that moment when you saw Noah Brown coming up clutch once again for a football?
First of all, shout out to Noah Brown. I mean, that was big time. And I thought it was, like, it's hard to say, it was a perfectly executed Hail Mary.
I don't think that there are, I don't know, do, yeah, do it's perfectly hard to say. Executed it's hard Hail Marys to say. Exist?
But everything that you want to happen on a perfectly executed Hail Mary happened. And you'll hear this in my confessions in about an hour and 20 minutes as well. You know, a lot has been made of Tyreek Stevenson sort of, you know, celebrating the win. Off
yeah,
to the
literally
side.
The ball is snapped.
Yeah, he's got his back
to his back is to the play. He's out here jawing with fans. He turns around because Jane
like,
Daniels.
Oh, snap. He goes.
Jane Daniels obviously taking time to let his wide receivers get down there. You know, Stevenson turns around, gets back to play, and ultimately is the man who tips the ball that goes backward and is caught by Noah Brown. Is that fair or foul? I need to ask
That's
you.
My confession. I'll give it to you right now. I don't think that play, I think it still would have been tipped. Now, maybe it wouldn't have been tipped the exact same way, but it still would have been tipped because everybody behind his hand had their hands the same place.
Yeah.
So it could have easily, like, he's getting destroyed, as well he should, you know, just for the celebration part. But then he snapped and he went over there and tipped the ball. Someone else was going to tip that ball.
But see, the thing is, if let's say he tipped the ball down and pretty much won the game.
Yeah.
Then that would have looked fly.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I was talking smack to the crowd, came in,
went over,
knocked the
made
ball
a play.
Down. Yeah. But
it's like that one hooper, that one street ball hooper who went and took a puff of the hookah on the sideline and then got the ball in and then went and dunked it.
Yeah, hookah Doncic.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. And yet it wasn't. So
That was kind of like that Nick Young moment where he shot the three, turned around like, hey, and missed it.
And he missed it.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Swaggy P.
Yeah.
In fact, now Tyquan Stevenson, Swaggy T at this point. And, I mean, we don't really got a lot of love for him around these parts either because he was out here acting a fool week two, wasn't he?
Yep.
And so was he the player that actually called? He was the hip drop guy, wasn't he?
Stevenson?
Was it Tyquan?
Oh, Tyquan.
Stevenson? Yeah.
It might have been.
It might have been.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so hold that.
You know what? It was.
Yeah, he could hold that. Now, earlier, Payne and Pendergrass were talking about this, and they alluded to how this now brings up a point of focus again for the Texans as they head into a short week, because there is one person in particular who seems to be unreasonably good at Hail Mary.
Yes, it is.
And that is Aaron Rodgers. That is something that you might have to pay attention to with the Jets, should you come to that perspective. But another thing that you have to pay attention to that goes against the Jets is that in the course of their game this week, Jets became the first team since 2013 to do a thing in particular, which was call all three timeouts in the first quarter.
How?
They're in such a bad... That's coaching.
It's Nathaniel Hackett, actually the head coach.
That is an interim coach that is just out here doing things.
Yeah.
So I fully anticipate the Texans having the coaching advantage.
Oh,
on Thursday.
For sure. But short week in New York, now they're really up. They're a mess. I mean, they are an absolute mess. There's nothing going right for the Jets. I anticipate an easy, relatively, given the short week, sort of bounce back game for the Texans. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be close.
No, and the one thing I always have a little concern about with these Thursday games is that the road team has an even shorter
hard
week.
Time.
And so those are usually tougher, but it makes me feel better seeing that the Jets out here squandering whatever things that they have available to them coaching-wise. Shout out to, Jeff Olbricht, his name?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to you, calling all those timeouts in the first quarter. First of all, I was surprised that somebody had the wherewithal to go into the archives and find when was the last time someone did that. And I was also surprised to see that it really doesn't happen ever.
2013.
Over a decade ago.
God almighty. And they actually... I mean, they actually were like in total control and then just completely collapsed. Not total control, but in control and then completely collapsed. It's a mess with the Jets right now.
Yeah, I saw Damian Woody on Get Up talking about it and saying it's over for them. The Aaron Rodgers era is over. And I was like, damn, grand opening, grand closing, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
Well,
don't close before the Texans get a win.
How's that Devontae Adams thing working out?
Well,
I told you that wasn't going to do nothing, man. That wasn't going to fix nothing.
And when Figgy says it, he is indeed right.
Yeah.
All right. Some other things around the NFL. Jameis Winston doing things.
God love that man. God love that man.
He's unintentionally funny, but it's also getting to a point where I do wonder if I just am starting to not like him at all.
Liking him more.
Before the game, Jameis Winston was interviewed, and he had this to say.
Jameis, I can tell you're taking it all in right now. You're about to make your first start since 2022. Ken Dorsey said that he's been preaching to you to play smart but not conservative. What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice. Mm.
You're looking really focused right now. You told us this week that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
Why is he like this?
I shouldn't have knew they was going to win that game, man.
The funniest part about Jameis Winston is it's not an act.
He's no, dead serious.
It's not putting
he's
on.
Dead. He's dead serious,
yes,
man.
Yes.
So, like, it's not like he's just a little corny.
It's him.
I don't say that because, like, the religious aspect of it, it's just this is, like, it all feels so, like, overwrought.
Yes.
And contrived, except it's not. It's absolutely
the eyes. It's his eyes.
It is. It's unbelievable.
I can't unsee this. I think it was a Browns player tweeted and said every time he's in a huddle and he's calling the play, look like he about to tell a secret.
Hey, guys, did you hear? Here's where we're running.
All right, here's the play.
I got to know if he's a preacher's kid because he definitely speaks like he is.
Didn't he get his license to?
I don't know.
I think a minister. I think so. Where he can actually marry people.
Efficient.
Yeah, but so.
You ain't got like to be I no did. Pressure. You ain't got to be no. Pastor to be able to do that.
But he seemed like he's into it though.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I just thought about it. Please don't invite me to no weddings that Jameis Winston's officiating.
I
think he did officiate somebody's wedding.
Please it don't would do be that awesome.
Me. I think it's online somewhere. I think if you search, I think you can find it.
Oh man, I can't imagine what that's like.
And by the way, a lot better than Deshaun Watson
at football. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
A lot better than Deshaun Watson. Like, oh my gosh, he had to watch Deshaun.
It's like, oh, yes, he had a chance to win.
He's going through his progressions. He's looking off receivers. He's putting the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, he threw 33 touchdowns in a season one time. Yeah. Like, you can't forget that was a thing.
I will say he should have had like 4 interceptions, though, man.
That's Jameis Winston for you.
I know, but Baltimore just dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Man.
How about after the game? How about after
after the Browns somehow secure a 29-24 victory, including a Jameis Winston game-winning drive, this was Jameis.
Not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance today. Congratulations, Jameis.
How do you not love him? He goes from the Bible to Eminem.
I like how he said, like, oh, it's a white boy that you probably never heard of.
That's exactly how Eminem. That's exactly how damn near every preacher would set that up. Right? And there's this one white boy was said. Right? Like, that's exactly.
You might not know him.
I'm certain.
It was a boxer by the name of Cassius Clay.
You might know him as Muhammad Ali. Right? I like, suppose, no, that's.
No, we all know.
Y'all never heard of Cassius Clay.
Actually, we did. We have.
Ah, Jameis. Also, of all people to quote, Eminem, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, just, he's such a unique individual, and that's the nicest way that
he's
I can
the best.
Say it.
Yeah.
Got to protect Jameis at all costs.
I don't think we have to do all that. We'll check in every once in a while, but protect him might be a little bit much.
How is Cleveland looking up on these two great type of, I guess, moment type of quarterbacks, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because they had this moment with Joe Flacco, where everybody got Flacco fever. Now everybody loves Jameis. Everybody got the Jameis Winston's fever now.
Well, how much of that is lucking up, and how much of that is like creating a juxtaposition where anything is better than Deshaun Watson?
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But they've been, Flacco, we'll see him on Jameis. But Flacco played, man.
Yeah.
He played.
I mean, Jameis will play until he don't.
And these two is just so lovable, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could mean because of who they had.
Who was not lovable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Jameis Winston. Always giving us content or something to talk about. We don't have time to get all the way into this. However, Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys were throttled pretty heavily after a third quarter that the Niners really got into.
Kind of turned it up.
Really turned it up. And this is against a walking mash unit of a San Francisco Niners team. First of all, Deebo Samuel not only plays in this game, plays well in this game, after like having pneumonia during the course of this week. What chances 1 to 10 that you're showing up to work that week to play football?
After pneumonia?
Yeah. Because like my answer is very low. Incredibly low.
0.5.
I just keep looking at this and I'm like, football players are different.
They're from a different planet. I've told you before.
They are incredibly different. Yeah. Later in this show, we will get into what happened after the game in which the Cowboys players are apparently taken after their team owner and lashing out at the media because Trayvon Diggs after the game saw a tweet that questioned his vigor in playing defensive football and going for a tackle. And he left the locker room fully dressed, right? Still in his uniform. Only thing he didn't have was his helmet. And he went and accosted that media member to talk to that man about why he would impugn his good name.
Yes.
And we'll get you the audio later in the show. But yes.
How did he put it?
Things are not going great. Things are not going great for the Cowboys who fell to the Niners. They are 3-4, funny enough. Like that is they're in a bad way. So they're struggling a little bit, which right about on time for here in a few weeks. What is it, 3 weeks?
Yeah, McCaffrey coming back.
Yeah. McCaffrey is coming back for he went to Germany. It looks like that got things together for him.
Mm-hmm.
Niners trending in the right direction themselves as well.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 that's around the NFL here. In the loop. Coming up next, was this a Pyrrhic victory? Did they just, even in getting a win, did they take too many losses in the course of this? We'll talk about that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Victory Reaction Monday. And because your Texans win 23-20 at NRG Stadium versus the hated Indianapolis Colts to widen their lead in the AFC South back out to 2 and get them to 6-2 on the season. It was a hard fought victory. It was a tight game and a week, in fact, a slate where there was a lot of tight games this week, funny enough, right? There was, I think, coming down to a point. And at the end of this game, where there were six.
It's been the way it's been all year long.
And that slate, a lot of close games. Yeah. So obviously, you have to take some level of pride in getting that win. But there was a point during this game where seeing dudes go down, and I asked, is this going to be a Pyrrhic victory for this Texans team? Now, I know not everybody is like super familiar with that term, but like ever since I first heard it, like, I never forget it. A Pyrrhic victory being one that inflicts such a devastating toll.
Was it worth it, basically?
That it's you have to ask, indeed, that question, was it worth it? And I kind of want to go through and talk about some of the things that you lost in the course of trying to get this win. And first and foremost, you have to think about Stephon Diggs.
That's at the top of the list, but he's not alone.
No, he is not.
He is not alone. Yes, so to answer your question, absolutely. Now, you still take it. I think by definition, and you would probably know this before I would, but a Pyrrhic victory means you'd give up the victory if you could change the result.
I had not even thought about it to that level. But
I wouldn't change the result. Stephon Diggs to the point where, and who would have figured that this was even be a conversation because of the depth they seem to have at the position, because of the supreme talent that we all thought they have and had. At the position, you got to start thinking about another receiver. I'm not saying I'm advocating it.
Like acquiring one as we near the trade
deadline
in a week or two?
Maybe not a top of the line. But I mean, Robert Woods came in, what do you have, 2 catches and made some plays. Tank Dell stepped up. Xavier Hutchinson even made some plays. Even John Metchie made some plays. But if he is gone, and by the way, we're monitoring that. We'll let you know.
I think he's supposed to have an MRI today.
Yeah.
And we have not heard anything further beyond that as of yet.
So we'll let you know if it is something that is long term. You know, obviously nobody around here hopes that it is, but it didn't look good. The three worst words in sports: non-contact injury.
Yeah,
or them. I think you have to kind of kick the tires, look around, do what Nick Caserio does well, and find that value somewhere that could maybe just bolster. I mean, again, in any other circumstance, you'd be saying, okay, well, these guys can get it done. They do have some depth. They still do have some depth. But again, we talked about this in the first and second segments. They do have a different standard right now.
Yeah. You
know, they are reaching different goals.
I'm interested that people, there's so many people that are immediately going to, you need to go get a wide receiver, because I thought that was the whole point of having this level of depth that mm-hmm. you do. Especially seeing a little bit of a confidence booster for me, seeing Mechie come in and immediately finding some level of connection mm-hmm. with CJ there. I mean, obviously Mechie had some, Hutchinson had a catch, funny enough, for 19 yards, which matches his jersey number. Robert Woods is a guy that is very experienced in this league that I think you have a lot of trust in. Like, those are three guys that I imagine that you'd be cool running out there as three wide receivers a lot of teams would be happy with, in addition to the fact that you still have Tank Dell. And oddly enough, and I don't know if it's like a cruel joke enough, right, once Nico Collins is not available for you and Diggs loses, is lost to injury in the course of this game, Tank Dell, you see him start to tick up in his looks and in his catches in a way that it feels like he's not been able to do. Like, so it's almost like, hey, those guys are out of the way.
Now does Tank step in?
Now Tank can flourish again. But yeah, it feels like you have enough pieces to still get this thing done. I thought that was the whole point of being seven deep at wide receiver.
No, it was. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating, oh, they got to get another receiver. What I'm saying is you got to look. You got to see what's out there, because it definitely, with the standard you have, with maybe some of the uncertainty, yes, you know, Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, made some plays. Is that something that you can absolutely count on? Is Tank Dell absolutely going to be step right in and be a number one? What happens when Nico comes back? So you got that happening too. So maybe Nico makes it a little easier to stay with the depth that you have. But what Stephon Diggs did was consistently give you five catches.
100%.
Like, consistently give you at least five catches. No less than five catches in any game this year. 5, 5, 6, 6, and 5 in his games. That's pretty significant. That's not off the charts, but that's pretty significant to have that consistency.
Yeah, and it was important to have a guy that you trusted at any given time to throw the football to. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if you feel confident enough when Nico Collins is available to come back off of IR. It seems like we've gotten, I think Aaron Wilson was reporting mm-hmm. that he is working towards, and it feels like he will be back ready once he's available off of, to be activated off of IR. Does the idea that having Nico Collins and then Tank Dell, a starting wide receiving core that you ran with last year and that mm-hmm. you were very happy about, is that sufficient enough, or would you still be like, I might need another guy? Because I feel like that might just be the luxury of having a lot of wide receivers, getting us to a place where we feel like you constantly need to have that many wide receivers.
No, I'm with you. And you just said, you know, the question is, we might need another wide receiver. They might feel, hey, we get Nico back, we're good.
Yeah, I think that's where I lean towards, especially seeing as it felt like you were making the whole offense out of Nico Collins to begin with, mm-hmm. right? If you have Nico and Tank Dell going in a certain way, I think that's plenty. Also, with the guys that you know that Mechie can, you can get the ball to Mechie in certain instances, you can get the ball to Hutchinson, and especially Robert Woods, who is really like a constant. You drop him in, and it's like you know what you're going to get out of him. I feel like that's the whole point of the depth. But that wasn't the only loss that you have. And I know we'll talk about, you know, Stephon Diggs on a 1-year deal, depending on like what the results of that MRI are, and what the injury designation or a diagnosis ends up being.
Yeah.
We'll have more conversation to have there. Offensive line is an interesting one, because mm-hmm. Jarrett Patterson gets injured in this one. He gets a concussion. And so that all but takes him out of, you know, the possibility of playing against the Jets.
Yeah.
Right. It felt like you had found something offensive line wise. Mm-hmm. Now, it was one drive, and I think Seth made a mention this earlier this morning that I had not given enough time to think about, which is what happens if now teams look at him and are able to break him down, and then is he going to be the left guard that fixes this for the rest of the season, or was that just a quick fix for the time being, and then you would still need to find some more adjustments or what have you? But I thought that was a really tough loss, mm-hmm. as you seemed to finally get to the point where you were like, okay, Kenyon Green can't be in. We feel confident enough to move away from this number one or this first round pick that we had.
Yeah.
Finally okay to put Jarrett Patterson in there. And it clicks. and then you lose it instantly. I thought that that was going to be a real, real huge turning point for this Texas team on the season.
Yeah, for this game, this victory, as we put it at the top of this, it was very, very costly. But it's not just this game because, you know, Kenyon Green is – it seems like the book has already been written on him, at least for this season. Like, it's not happening. We thought we saw some signs earlier. So now where do you go? They put Kenyon Green back in, and he wasn't really – he got blown up the first two plays back in, but he, you know, he progressively, incrementally better over the course of the game, or enough, you know, good enough to get it done. But then who else is there? Kendrick Green? I don't know about Kendrick Green.
And that's a question we're going to have is, like, what do you actually do in that left guard spot? Because it seems like you've already admitted to yourself that, hey, Kenyon Green is not getting it done to the level necessary.
Yeah.
Is this, I mean, I understand in that game you just throw him back out there because, you know, obviously if Patterson wasn't there, that's probably your next best option. But moving forward, is that something where you do need to lean and look at what Kendrick Green can give you there? Or do you start playing musical chairs? What are the questions there? That's a conversation to be had. During the course of this, right, you had Kalen Bullock leave the game with a shoulder. Like, what does that, what, where does that take your mind to? Because I know that Kalen Bullock has been huge for what you're doing safety wise. He's been, he has the most, or he's tied for the most interceptions as, for rookies in the league, and he has been incredible as your deepest safety. And you lost it for, I don't know what we have injury-wise on him. I don't imagine that it's going to be a major one, but that started me thinking about the depth conversation that we had.
Yeah.
Is that anything that came to mind for you?
A little bit, but I'm right there with you in terms of, you know, that's one where we have to see, you know, not going to be a whole lot of practices, per se, this week that we're going to be able to see if he's on the field or not. This is basically a Thursday for a game week, which means you're kind of late in the process. So they're sort of expediting some stuff. It, the fact that it's a short week would make me want to lean like he may not play on Thursday, just because it is a short week. But I don't think it's necessarily, quote, serious. But it's serious this week. You know, you obviously can't afford to go up to New York and lose to that team.
So with those three kind of injury things that happened, and maybe something else, did I miss anything else when the course was?
Well, just the lingering ones, which wasn't in this game, but the lingering ones, got to see how they respond.
Yeah.
You know, Toa Toa and Al-Shaair, we don't really know the significant, the extent of his injury. But yeah, those are the things that you have to look at as well.
And then Christian Harris still being kind of
Christian
nowhere
Harris.
To be seen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this possibly affecting the next game? Because I feel like in football, when we talk about Pyrrhic victories, it's really about, does this now affect other ones? And because of this quick turnaround that you have on Thursday, how do you feel that these affect these? Because for me, wide receiver, I think that hurts, but I think you'll be able to manage it. Kalen Bullock, I think he'll thug it out ultimately, and we'll see what it looks like. It's the offensive line one that really raises eyebrows for me. But in some ways, you're back to where you were prior when it comes to Kenyon Green. It's not optimal, right? Because he has been getting beat relatively consistently. Yeah. But it is where you were before.
Yeah, because it's safe to say Jared Patterson is not going to play this week on a short week with concussion protocol. Kenyon Green has not improved. Kendrick Green, as we talked about, I don't know how much you know, confidence you have in him. And oh, by the way, it really wasn't like a sterling effort at the other positions along the offensive line.
No, but yeah. I think they've stabilized to the point where it's kind of consistently what it is. It's not consistently great, but it's consistently what it is. And I think that you can kind of work off of that. If there's not a weak link in the middle that's letting guys fly at your quarterback pretty quickly.
Exactly.
So yeah, I funny enough, in talking through it, I do not believe it was a Pyrrhic victory, but we honestly haven't gotten the full extent.
The Diggs thing,
of
we'll
what
see.
The injury is. Yeah, so we're waiting on news on Stephon Diggs, who it really was just planting that right foot in the ground. And
I watched it so many times, I didn't see anything twist or turn. It just kind of went out.
And those are the ones that are the scariest, right?
Yeah.
If there's some level of knock, maybe you say that, oh man, you know, that there's a bruise or something like that. No, there's no, you know.
Nope.
No idea of a bruise. So, like, best case scenario is what? Like, there's some level of meniscus issue. Worst case scenario, you're talking about an ACL or MCL, like, tear to where you're losing the rest of the season, if not other parts of the year. So, yeah, that's – we'll watch that space. But really something that the Texans are going to have to navigate over the course of this week, clearly, as they're finishing out, like, that three-game and really tight span week, but then also as the season progresses moving forward. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Rockets getting a perplexing loss this weekend. And Lopez's favorite player going to play tonight. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And we'll start with this. One of the biggest college football games of the weekend, A&M, LSU, and A&M came out on top. You have a Mike Elko showing up and showing out, getting a big-time win and taking the top of the SEC for themselves, A&M does.
Ball coach. Is about the best way you can put it. It's a lot of the same players. He got some transfers like everybody does, but that was quite the impressive performance by the Aggies on Saturday night. More so because you talk about, you know, loyalty and all this other stuff, and Connor Wegman, and frankly I was wrong on Wegman. I've seen him make some throws that were just, you know, spectacular, but he just doesn't do it enough. And lo and behold, Elko says, no, we're going to go with Marcel Reed. We're going to go with the freshman and see what he can do. And they just poured it on offensively, of course, with Marcel Reed. But defensively, that is a very well-coached defense.
And that was the thing that you knew you were going to get. Elko, obviously, previously defensive coordinator at A&M before he went off to Duke to become a head coach. And one thing that follows him around is a good, well-coached defense, and that was what was necessary against LSU. LSU not a particularly good defense themselves, and I guess it's Marcel Reed's show at this point.
It's his. You could see him kind of taking ownership, right?
Yeah, especially against with Colin Klein offense. He wants kind of that mobile quarterback, and so it seems like it fits better with what they're trying to do there. So shout out to A&M and shout out to Mike Elko, who also in the postgame presser gave you a little bit of spice with the substance of the win. 38-28 victory for A&M, and he said, this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program, and for all the recruits out there, this is a real place.
Well, let's hear from Mike Elko, because I don't know if there's much you can point to other than one Jimbo.
We're very honest. We're very open. And this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football, this is a really good place to be.
They had a lot of recruits there.
They had 100. And they had like almost 100 recruits there. They got 3 commitments after the game.
Yeah, I bet they did.
You don't want somebody all up in the videos.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah,
and death row,
and when he said talking fast, it's kind of hard to deny who he's talking about.
No, for sure. I thought for a moment, because this is the tough thing about it, right? If you're talking recruiting, he's not recruiting against Jimbo, but I guess he's recruiting against the legacy of Jimbo, A&M. Mm-hmm. But I thought if you're talking about direct recruits, that could also in some ways fit against Brian Kelly. Right, who is...
That's fair.
I mean, look, people don't seem to like him, right? And then maybe the idea of, you know, not being...
Not a bad point.
Not being real.
There were some LSU guys there.
And particularly against that LSU team that, that you're facing off against, an LSU team that does not hurt for recruiting, right? I was like, maybe that could be it, but no, it's easy to very much focus the attention on Jimbo, who did not fit any of those things that Mike Elko said.
That was a direct hit.
Shout out to A&M getting a victory. We'll talk more college football tomorrow on College Football on a Tuesday. Some other things that happened. The Rockets, after getting a big win on Friday, like against the Grizzlies, they looked like they looked commanding. They looked dominant. Mm-hmm. They got good offense. I was like, okay,
yeah.
And I have settled into what I think this Rocket season is going to be, which is a development exercise in development, up and down as they went to San Antonio, and they ultimately clawed it back to make close. They had a run towards the end, but this was not a good showing for the Rockets, chiefly with your star guy, the guy that got paid last week and who, you know, is supposed to be what this thing runs around. Alperen Şengün only gets 22 minutes in this thing, 6 points. Mm-hmm. He just thoroughly was not, you know, he's not good on the night. Not even close to being good on the night.
And again, shout out to Ime Udoka, because he made it very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he played his best game in general anyway, so more so a combination of both. Sloppy at times, and the pace that we were playing with didn't look like he kept up with it. And so it was that and a combination of the guys we got out there that brought that energy and upped our defensive intensity as well.
I actually thought this was a great, great day for Udoka. They lost the game. They clawed back. I think they were down 20-22, something like that. Got in it. But to be able to do that, he's basically saying, I don't care if you make $185 million. I don't care if you make $185,000. The old standard is not, you're not living up to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think with a team that's this young, I think it makes it a little bit easier to have that perspective, but it's also all that much more important to do that. And yeah, Alperen Şengün, he will have to step up to the challenge. Thinking about this team, like, they need that veteran calm so much. Fred VanVleet can only do so much of that. I think that this is where and it's weird to kind of talk about a backup center like this, but I think that once you have Steven Adams playing consistently for this team, you know, once he's back actually on the court when they're playing these games, I think that he'll be helpful in that regard.
I totally agree.
As of right now, you needed your big center in that situation to play well, and he didn't give you much against a Wemby-led San Antonio Spurs team. So 109-106, the Rockets are 1-2. They'll circle back and play that same team tomorrow, I believe, if I remember correctly. So there you go. Some other things that are popping. The World Series, we had a couple of good ones this weekend.
You like walk-off Grand Slam?
I love a walk-off Grand Slam. Like, you got that. But then Shohei Ohtani was dealing with the shoulder injury. We get a little bit of a confirmation that he will play tonight. Yeah. After we were
separated.
Separated shoulder is a significant thing to deal with. I know that for me, I would not be at work, and I just talk on the radio. Talk less of having to swing that bat. But Shohei Ohtani will play in Game 3, where the Dodgers looking to really put this thing out of reach.
Yeah, I honestly, you know, he's talk about physical freaks. I know anything is possible with him, but boy, that is a big ask. If you just separated your shoulder, apparently he's going to go through his routine, be ready to play as best he can. That is a huge ask for Ohtani to be able to carry the load with a separated shoulder.
Yeah, and obviously a separated shoulder might kind of limit what he's capable of doing. What is Aaron Judge's excuse? He has been really, really bad this postseason. 150 batting average.
Strikeouts.
Strikeout percentage is like, I don't know if it's damn near doubled. Like, during the season, his strikeout percentage was 24%, and doubled is too much, but 38% strikeout percentage this postseason. In this postseason, it's just been really bad.
He's been awful.
Aaron Judge.
He's been really, really bad. He has, I'm sure you saw this, you know, making the rounds on social media. He has more strikeouts in just those World Series games compared to someone like some of the other players, specifically Astros, that have fewer than that in all their World Series games. I mean, it's vexing, and the Yankees are going to just pile on if it doesn't change.
Yeah, if anybody is still interested in any of these World Series games, they have been fun, but it's been other names that have been doing it, especially outside of Aaron Judge. They go again tonight. Mm-hmm. It is more baseball on a Monday night, and you still rooting for these Dodgers, right?
Well, I was rooting for Ohtani.
Let's go, Dodgers! Let's go.
That's all this is for. That's all this is about.
The only reason we brought it up, you know you're happy for Ohtani if he gets it done, Figgy. You know you are.
I don't care that much, man.
Rockets game is tonight. Thank you for reminding me, because that was Saturday. For some reason, I have not turned the day.
It's been
a lot of
sports, man.
I keep thinking it's Sunday. I don't know what, and I mean, why would I be on air on Sunday? But for some reason, I keep sliding back. Yes, the Rockets game is tonight.
It's a lot of sports coming on today, too, man.
Oh, this is the Equinox, right?
Yep. You got NBA action.
Yeah.
You got NFL action.
Correct.
You got World Series.
That is right.
Baseball. And you got some NHL.
Yeah, I saw Adam Schefter, of all people.
The sports Equinox for all four major American sports are playing at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, so this man is not playing anymore. His name is Dwayne Wade. He is retired.
Mm-hmm.
And was this yesterday as well?
Yes.
Because apparently none of my days are right. Yesterday, he had a statue unveiled in Miami, which makes sense. I mean, that's the greatest player in their history of the franchise.
And they going to put one up in Cleveland?
No. Like, they might not
That's
even
a
make
Cavs
it.
Legend right
I don't
there,
even know
man.
If they're going to make a bobblehead of Dwayne Wade in Cleveland. But, yes, they build a statue of Dwayne Wade, except is it of Dwayne Wade?
Why do people do this?
Why are we so bad at statues? Like, why are statues so hard?
I feel like they're doing this on purpose at this point, man.
I mean, it's insulting.
Like, why are statues so hard? Because I can't remember the last statue that was made that actually...
I got it right in front of me.
That actually fully made it, looked like the player. Oh, the Ed Reed.
Ed Reed.
Was that first time, though? Because I feel like sometimes they do this. They try it the first time. They don't get it right. And then they revise it to make it better. I can't remember if Ed Reed was good.
I saw this morning, and I completely agree. There are people who do these statues perfectly. And somebody tweeted, whoever did the Ed Reed's Hall of Fame bust should be the person that they hire to do all statues. Yes. Yes. I mean, because it's like... Even Dwayne Wade was like, I don't know if he was kidding or half kidding or whatever, but he's like, who is that guy?
Yeah, I think he tried to play it off almost like a, you know, like, it's so wild, I can't imagine myself. I couldn't have imagined myself in this place, but really, you could see it all over his face. Like, that he was like, this looks terrible.
Who was the last one that just didn't look anything like it?
I always think of the Cristiano Ronaldo bust that looked scary as hell.
That's it. Yeah.
That's one of those. It just feels like the Jordan statue they say is good. I can't recall exactly how close that one was, but yeah, it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shouldn't be considering the amount of time that these things have as a run up usually. And then just how important these things usually are. You would imagine that they take a lot of time in making sure that the detail of that person's, face comes through and it really looks like them. And yet still,
it shouldn't be this hard. It really shouldn't. There are people who do a fantastic job, you know, emulating the look. And statues are supposed to last forever, like forever and ever. And I don't know if I'd want that one up there forever or not.
I feel like they trolling at this point.
I'm telling
because
you.
It's getting a lot of run on social media.
Some said Michelangelo built better statues. Sure. Did Michelangelo sculpt?
Yes.
Okay.
Michelangelo's David and all those other ones.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. I was thinking about the Ninja Turtles.
Let's talk art.
I don't have the depth. There's a lot of places that I imagine I have a level of depth to go conversationally with you. Art is not one of them. So I'm not going to embarrass
myself. You went pretty far right there.
3-4-6. Allen Iverson's statue was also bad. Yeah, the little one that they did outside of the Sixers. One.
Yeah.
Kobe statue looks more like Kevin Garnett. Yeah, probably. Yeah, text in your favorite ugly statues. We can get that in here as well in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get back into the Texans conversation. Let's get some love to all the players that played well in this 23-20 victory over the Colts. Who hooped? Next on In the Loop.